You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for tuning into the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, the 31st of January in the year 2018. Can you believe that we're already done with the first month of 2018? That's incredible. I'm John B. with GangreneNation.com. The big news in the NFL from Tuesday, of course, was the blockbuster trade as the Kansas City Chiefs send quarterback Alex Smith to Washington, news which has implications for the Jets from a couple different angles. First of all, it means that Smith will not be joining the Jets. Not that he was necessarily the most likely option to be the new Jets quarterback, but he was a name that you heard in the mix. And of course, the bigger implication is that means that with Alex Smith in Washington and signed to an extension, Kirk Cousins, Washington's quarterback, will be changing teams during the offseason, and the Jets with their need at quarterback and all of their cap space become probably one of the biggest contenders. I'll admit I'm a little surprised. I thought ultimately they would work things out. Everybody always says, well, if they haven't worked it out by now, they won't. The thing about that is whenever somebody uses that logic, more often than not, it's incorrect. Is once there's actually a sense of urgency to get something done, the two sides have a way of getting things done, but not in this case. Apparently, it wasn't even likely. It sounds like two sides weren't even talking in Washington, and now Washington makes this trade, and Cousins is on his way out. We're going to rearrange our schedule a little bit this week. Instead of doing the mailbag on Thursday, we're going to do it today, and then I think we'll probably do predictions on Thursday rather than Friday for the Super Bowl. And then Friday, we'll have something different in store for our show if all goes according to schedule. So we're going to start off with a question nobody actually sent, but I'm sure it's the question everybody would ask when it comes to the mailbag. And I think the question is, will the Jets pursue Kirk Cousins? And I'm not basing this off any insider knowledge that I have, but my strong hunch would be yes. I think my guess would be that they would go quite hard after Cousins. The answer is obvious. I mean, there's a big need at quarterback. They have money to spend, and now probably the biggest competition you always have for a free agent is the original team, because that's where the free agent lives. You know, he won't have to uproot himself if he has a family. Uproot the family, and it's just, you know, it's the surroundings he knows best. You know, his teammates, his playbook, system. It's just always easiest to stay. So I think when you don't have to deal with that, when you don't have to contend with that, which the Jets will not, you know, it makes it more likely you'll sign the guy. The question, you know, the next question, again, nobody sent this. I just think these are obvious questions. Should they? I got to be honest, I would be very careful. You know, nothing soured me more on Cousins than one night a couple weeks ago when I actually sat down and watched four games of his on film, and I'm not sure. I felt like I was not watching a difference maker. I felt like I was watching a guy who would take what the defense gave to him, which certainly has value and certainly in a lot of ways is better than what you've gotten from the Jets in a long time. But I'm not sure I see a guy who can lift his team on his back, and that's one thing. You know, it's one thing if you can surround a guy with the right supporting cast, put him in the right system, but lots of question marks with the Jets, because will Cousins require the type of deal that will make him the highest paid player in the league? And if he does that, if you take one of those cap crushing deals, well, you limit yourself in terms of flexibility quite a bit. So I think you got to be very careful. It's not nothing. It's not that I don't like Cousins. It's not that I don't think he can play quarterback, but I question how much of your cap space are you going to tie up in the guy? Because at the end of the day, I don't think Cousins, I don't even think Cousins really has a strong case to being a top 10 quarterback. And I think there are, you know, we're talking about average. So middle of the pack would be 16 out of a 32 team league. I think you can actually argue that there are 16 guys I'd rather build around. Like, maybe they may not have the resume, but Who would I rather build around, Cousins or this guy? I think there are 16 guys where you can make the case. So I'm not even sure he's necessarily, you know, above league median. So, I mean, these are things to consider as we go forward. Now let's jump into a few other questions submitted to us. This one was from the comment section of gangrenenation.com. If we signed Cousins, who would you want to pick at number six? That's a great question, and I'm still early in the evaluation process. And I think obviously taking Cousins at six takes you out of the quarterback discussion probably for the first 2 days of the draft. I think you may be looking fourth round or later at draft if you're going to, and that's if you're going to draft. You may not even want to draft one at all, but certainly I don't think you'd draft a quarterback in the first three rounds. So that takes quarterback off the table at six. And I'll tell you, I'm not a big fan of some of these early prospects I'm watching. I really struggle to come up with a guy. I think, you know, Davenport, the kid out of Texas San Antonio, who impressed at the Senior Bowl, plays a premium position. He's an edge guy. I think he's a guy you could look at. Probably the best player, if you're going to go with the Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams school of drafting, just best pure player regardless of position, might be Nelson, the guard out of Notre Dame, but is 6'2 early for a guard? I think the answer, and this is always easier said than done because everybody says they want to do this, but I think you really have to try hard to trade down in that situation. Part of it's just due to, I don't love the talent, but also if you're going to sign Cousins, he's going to be eating up a huge chunk of cap space, and he's going to limit to quite a large degree what you're going to be able to do in free agency. Now, he's not going to eat up all the cap space, but when you think about how many needs the Jets have, I'm not sure they'll, you know, even if we get into the upper limits, 80, 90 million, we don't know exactly how much cap space they'll have. It's not enough to fill all their holes. And if you're going to eat up a good chunk of that on Cousins, you're really limiting what the other ways you can improve your team, which means you're going to have to find to fill many of your holes, you're going to have to find very cheap players. Well, the best way to find cheap players is in the draft. So I think what the Jets need to look at doing is trading down early and often, trade down frequently, accumulate more picks so that you're bringing in more high-end young players, because I think that it becomes essential in that instance. And again, it's easier said than done. Somebody has to want your pick, and you have to be able to match up on value, find the proper value. But I think you have to lean strongly toward trading down early and often in this draft if you address the quarterback situation in free agency with Cousins. Next question. This is an interesting one about the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL. Has the current CBA hurt the Jets since it was signed in 2011 with no playoffs in this drought? The prior 7 years before the lockout, the Jets qualified for the playoffs four times. I think a lot of that's a coincidence. I think there's one area where it did impact the Jets negatively in this seven-year stretch, but it was much, much earlier, and that was when it was first signed in 2011 because it reduced the salary cap. And if you looked at the way Mike Tannenbaum was building the team at the time, he was the way the Jets were structuring these contracts, they were counting on the cap continuing to rise. And when it did not happen, it really caused them problems against the, you may remember 2012, 2013, the Jets were in cap trouble. And I mean, that was mostly due to just really dumb moves, dumb contracts, but some of them and some of the restructures that really hurt the team down the line were made necessary by the 2011 CBA because the Jets suddenly found themselves in a cap crunch that they weren't necessarily expecting. You know, they'd planned out long-term as though the cap was going to continue to rise. And I think that hurt them. Now, in terms of the CBA now, I don't know that there's necessarily anything else that's really prevented them from making moves, from making the playoffs. I think they've just not been run very well. I think that's the bigger issue. But I think if you go back 7 years or so, you know, six, seven years, yeah, I think some of the early and maybe some of those problems helped, one thing leads to another in the NFL, so you know, kind of set the Jets on this path that they're on. I don't think necessarily that's been the issue lately, but I think it was the thing that got the Jets rolling downhill in this rough stretch. Next question. There seems to be growing consensus that implementing a predominantly zone blocking scheme on the offensive line could mean the end for James Carpenter's term with the Jets. question isn't so much about keeping Carpenter as it is on scheme. Is there a counter-argument that to some extent many offensive lines are now built, such as the Saints' offensive line, with a more mixed approach? I don't get to watch as many games as I'd like, but from what I've seen, the Saints have two bigger, solid man blocking guards with a faster, small center. Realize any scheme would need adequate personnel, but is it really cut in stone that you build a line to suit one style in the modern NFL? I think that you're right about this, that the Saints, and I think a lot of NFL teams, it's very rare you see an NFL team do run plays exclusively either man, only man, or only zone. So yeah, I think in today's NFL, it's much more, in any number of ways, it's really kind of a hybrid league where you do a little bit of everything. The one caveat I will say to that is that these zone blocking guys, from especially the Mike Shanahan guys, they really commit to zone blocking. That's, you know, the Alex Gibbs school, where, you know, Gibbs is the legendary offensive line coach who was influential in implementing zone blocking. Those guys really love zone blocking. I mean, those guys tend to, and we'll see what happens, but Rick Dennison, who is the Jets' new offensive line coach and run game coordinator, I mean, he is from that school. I mean, he's worked under Shanahan or Gary Kubiak for most of his career, and I'll tell you, those guys, in today's NFL, I agree with you. I think many instances you're looking for flexibility, you're looking for versatility, but those guys, the Shanahan, Alex Gibbs guys like Dennison and, you know, Jeremy Bates to some extent, they tend to stick predominantly with zone blocking. So I don't think it's a bad point. And I'll go back to something, another point you made about James Carpenter. The thing about the Jets is they have Carpenter, but they also committed quite a bit of money to Brian Winters a year ago. And Winters is not really a guy who can move people forward. Winters, if anything, is more of an athlete than he is a big guy who's going to drive a defender back, you know, 2-3 yards. I think if you're going to build, you know, if you're building your, I don't know, I need to sit and think before I say this, that you're building your offensive line around Brian Winters, but Brian Winters is going to be back, and he's eating up a lot of cap space this year. So if you're going to get anything out of him, I think it's going to be in a zone type scheme where he's using his mobility more than he is, because he doesn't really have a lot of power. So I think that's another thing to consider as the Jets kind of implement a new system. Next question was sent to us on Twitter. Is there a market to trade Muhammad Wilkerson? And I mean, I like the idea. I like the optimism, but I don't think so. Let me put it this way. Would you be willing to trade for Muhammad? Let's say you're on another team. Would you be willing to give up a draft pick for Muhammad Wilkerson based on what you've seen the last 2 years? I tend to doubt it. And I mean, I think he's probably going to make too much money relative to his value. I think, you know, his contract is just going to be too prohibitive for any team to want to take on. But even if it wasn't, I mean, even if Wilkerson was playing at the minimum, would you give up a draft pick based on what you've seen the last 2 years? Maybe you would, but I'm not sure I would. So I think, you know, the contract to a large extent does make it moot. Even if you would, I don't think anybody is taking on that contract. So it's a valiant effort, but it's I don't think he's going to be traded. Next question: with legal issues and injuries, do you see the Jets addressing the wide receiver position in free agency? And then there's another question: which wide receivers are worth looking at? And I think the answer is, I think you have to look at a wide receiver in free agency. I think you have to look at that market, because your top two guys both have question marks now. You have Onunwa coming off a serious injury, and you have Anderson, who obviously is facing some legal questions, and, you know, his availability is in question because the league could step in and discipline. We don't know, but it's a possibility. I mean, these are two unknowns, so really the only sure thing you have is Jermaine Kearse, and I don't know how sure of a thing Jermaine Kearse is, from the standpoint that, let's say the worst happens and you're playing without both guys for some extended stretch. Are you confident with Jermaine Kearse being your number one option? I think you got to go out and find somebody else. And then if, you know, you bring in a quality guy with some upside, and then everything works out for Anderson and Inunua, then you could look at saving the $5 million and letting Curse go. But I think, I don't think Curse, I think Curse is an insurance option to some degree. I don't think he's an insurance option, though, that you feel okay with what you've got if you don't have a top-tier receiver. So the guys I'd look at, I've mentioned Allen Robinson, the guy I love. I'm not sure whether he's going to hit free agency, though. You know, if you can't get him, I think there, you know, there are a couple younger guys available with upside. I've always liked Sammy Watkins. I know he hasn't been that prolific statistically the last couple of years, and you know, other question marks with him, but I like him. I think he's got talent. I think he's a guy who may be a relatively affordable guy to sign in terms of you know, a guy high upside, a guy who I think has upside, who things just haven't worked out for, maybe low risk, high reward. Dante Moncrief out in Indianapolis is a guy I've always liked his skill set, so I think he's a guy I'd look at. You know, maybe if you want to go the reliable veteran route, Mr. Decker, you take a look at, see whether you can bring him back. And that's the thing, is the Jets do have a question mark at wide receiver, but the good thing is I feel like wide receiver is one of those positions where there's always a guy available. There's always some guy you can go out there and get. So I think that that's a, you know, that's an area where I'm not terrified at the moment, even though you have some question marks. I feel like that's actually a workable thing. That's actually a workable position, because it just seems to me like there's always a wide receiver available that you can go and get to upgrade your roster in the offseason. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, consider subscribing to it. Options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope your Wednesday is excellent. We'll be back on Thursday.